Okay, good morning. Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Well, let's see if you're on the internet. We're getting ready to have some inclement weather here, but right now it's just nice and beautiful, a nice cloudy 33 degrees, but it's getting ready to go down. Don Becker's enjoying a nice 09 degrees, and so just depends on where you are. Of course, in the Bahamas, they're enjoying nice sunny weather, and I'm assuming, and somewhere on Earth it's a nice sunny day. But not here. Okay. I've grown up reading the Bible. People sometimes ask me how many times I've read it through, and I don't know. Only in seminary did I read from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21, but throughout my life I've read it several times, and different parts. Over and over, and I know I must have read 1 Corinthians 7 many times, but never married. And you read 1 Corinthians 7 married, and it's just a difficult chapter. It just, he says some really wild things in it, and I'm not a father, but this morning we'll get into news for a father. And I'm putting it right up there with Romans 5 as far as being complicated. And not nearly the depth of Romans 5, but certainly it's the things that he says to understand them accurately. So I think on a deal like this, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and ask him to open our eyes to the truth and what's going on. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, the entire Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. There are things here that we need to understand individually and in our society. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and to properly understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last week we had a wonderful time off with Trey, so let's just go back and kind of get ourselves into the momentum, and let's begin reading in verse 25, and then we will stop at 29 where we left off last week. So 25, now concerning virgins, unmarried women and virgins, I have no command of the Lord. But I give an opinion as one who has, by the mercy of the Lord, is trustworthy in regarding to writing Holy Scripture. I think then that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you should marry, you have not sinned. Well, that's nice. Thank you. And but if a virgin should marry, she has not sinned. Good. Yet such will have trouble in this life. So marriage is going to have trouble. And I think that probably should be the opening line of any marriage counseling. And you're thinking about married, you're thinking about trouble. And I am trying to spare you of this trouble. But this I say, brethren, at the time has been shortened, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none. Now, we took up the ideal of time, and that's what we're in the midst of studying now, time. It's amazing how as you get older in life, you say, boy, how time has passed. You got to learn to value time as it's occurring and not just waste away portions of your life and time, but time is essential. And that's what we're in the midst of looking at in this respect. Verse 29, But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on, in other words, the idea here is that, let's say, just for an example, you get married, and so you get married 10 years. Well, that 10 years is shortened for the amount of time you can spend on the Lord, because you've got to spend time with your husband, you got to spend time with your wife, and so forth. So it's shortened the amount of time that you can spend with the Lord. Now, all that these kinds of comments like that beg one understanding. Yes, your marriage is part of the plan of God, and yes, your service to the Lord is in your marriage. But what we're talking about here is specific, and we'll come to it this morning, specific things related to the Lord. For an example, Bible study, prayer, witnessing, these kinds of things. So, yes, marriage and how we deal in our marriage is essential in our relationship with the Lord, and when that needs to be emphasized. But as far as time that you could spend in worshiping of the Lord, you now have to spend with your husband and wife. So it cuts it short. And it's already cut short by work. It's already cut short by sleep. It's already cut short by hygiene. It's just cut short. And we just keep cutting it off, and finally the Lord just gets a little bit of time. And that's the tragedy, is what's going on in our country today. And so the difficulty we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at time. Now, we're not going to spend a long time on time, but I think it's worthy to spend a few moments looking at time in regard to our life. And we've already got through point one, but let's just review it from last 2 weeks ago. Point one, the value of time. The value of time, and the best place that I found for this is James 4. So let's open God's precious word to James chapter 4 and see what James has to say about time. James 4. And let's read 13 through 17. James 4, 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city, and spend a year there, and engage in business, and make a profit. Okay? That's laying it down. Now, verse 14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Not a very encouraging thing, but it's a very sobering thing. We may not be here tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And then verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Evil means it's out of the plan of God. It's not taking God into account. Verse 17, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is a sin. So there's the principle, opening principle, in understanding time. Consider every day as unto the Lord. And from this we learn what Paul was saying in verse 29 in our current study. Do not consider your husband or wife outside of your relationship with the Lord. That is vital. And it's amazing the number of people in our society. Christians marry non-Christians. Christians who love the Word of God marry Christians who don't love the Word of God. We do not have our understanding of time down, and it's not taught enough. We get involved in prophecy and history and a lot of other things, but in regard to the simplicity of living one day at a time, you need to marry somebody who's like-minded in the same momentum that you are in. That brings us to point two. Now, if you consider time, the most important thing you want to do then is to redeem the time. And so often we waste time, we lose time in fighting, in non-important issues and in all these other things. For this, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And for this principle, let's read verses 16 through 18. Now we're looking at redeeming the time, making it, taking advantage of the time in our lives. Okay? Verse 16. Well, let's just start at 15, beginning with the verse, with the sentence. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Now walk means every area of your life. Your finances, your health, your marriage, your spiritual life, every part of your being. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Pay attention. Not as unwise men, but as wise. And here's the wisdom that comes down from above. Verse 16, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Satan is the ruler of this world. The days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And here the Spirit teaches us, guides us, how to walk, where to walk, these kinds of things. It is amazing, and I'm guilty. I'm not preaching here as though I'm not. How much time we waste? How much time we waste? Parents waste time on things with their children, athletics, extracurricular activities. And we just waste a lot of time. But, oh yeah, the Lord's important, but let's go do this. Be sure you go to church, but we're going to miss church today because we have a sporting event. We have this event. We have that event. It's amazing. A lot of Christians, they know, they don't live it. They waste the time. We've got to redeem the time. And I think it's maybe old-fashioned, but I just think, I just feel so sorry for America when we gave up Sunday with the stores closed. Families were made more or less to be with each other. They didn't go out and shop and go out and work, do this, do that. And you were just sort of forced to hang around the house and maybe fight with your siblings, but you're forced to remain a family, and people were more prone to go to church. They didn't have to go to work. They were prone to go to church. And even there is a problem because few churches are teaching the truth, but at least the idea was there. But we are so busy, and we lose time. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. Well, it's already the end of November. Well, it's already the end of 2013. And I hadn't gotten this, and I hadn't gotten that. We don't redeem the time. We do not know how to redeem the time. And if I were teaching a young marriage class or potentially getting married people, these are the kinds of things that I would just drive home. You've got to calculate and determine what you're going to do with your time. Is it worth your time to go here or to go to church, go to Bible study, or stay home and just study the Word together? What are we doing with our time? So it's become so essential. Again, in 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And he pulled this out of the hat, as it were, because it communicates. And the truth of these things, on that same motif, talking about things that come to mind while you're teaching, they had a wonderful article in the paper Friday, I guess it was, about how they found in northern Israel 3,700-year-old vats. And they've calculated it's probably the best wine ever. The best wine ever. And they were in 15-gallon containers, something I think similar to what they had in Canaan. But they were all made, they had to calculate, by the same pottery because they were just designed exactly alike, and they were in a palace, fit for a palace dweller, a king or something, and it was just unbelievable. So God isn't against wine, but you don't want to get drunk with wine is the issue there. Now, enough on that. So, point one, value time. Point two, redeem the time. Make most of your time in everything, and including your marriage, your time together, instead of being separated for really unimportant reasons. Redeem that time in your marriage. Be on guard that your marriage does not hinder redeeming the time for the Lord. It's just amazing. I know I'm still newly married, but sometime Judith will be gone with her family or something, and I've lived, well, let's see, I'm married when I'm 67, so we'll just, I don't know, 50 adult years, whatever, and never worried about being alone. But when she's not there, I just walk around walking in the walls. Where is she? Why isn't she here? Not, she doesn't have to be doing anything, just that she's there. And I love her being there, just in that surrounding. So, is it worth the time to be separated? And I'm not making a big deal on that respect, but just you've got to value your time with one another. You got to value your you got to have your priority set up. Where is your priority? With God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, prayer, witnessing, that type of thing, your marriage, your work world, your family, these kind of things. So we live in such a busy society today. So let's go to point three. So we have value time, redeem the time. Now point three, utilize your time. Utilizing your time. And the utilization principle is our study, 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 31. And let's just read it. 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 31. 29 of 1 Corinthians. But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that it is from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none. For those who weep, as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice, as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy, as though they did not possess. And verse 31, and those who use the world, as though they did not make full use of it. For the form of this world is passing away. It's utilizing your time. It's not a matter of sin versus non-sin in the traditional sense of thinking. It's a matter of utilizing your time as unto the Lord. Don't get too involved in this. Don't get so caught up in that. Utilizing your time as unto the Lord. Point four. Make your time prosperous. Make your time prosperous. And for this, let's look at Psalm 10:5. Psalm 10:5. Should have printed this out. Psalm 10:5. His ways prosper at all time. Thy judgments are on high, out of his sight. For as for all his adversaries, he snorts at them. The ideal here is the first phrase, his ways prosper at all times. Is what you do prosperous? Now people, let me make sure you understand. It doesn't mean you should be doing something. Resting can be very prosperous. Being at peace, being quiet, can be very prosperous. We're not talking about, well, you can't just sit down. You got to do something. No, that's not the fact. But you want to use your time prosperously. Sitting down all the time, not too prosperous. See? But not sitting down can also be a handicap. Okay, five. This one kind of covers everything we're talking about. Praise the Lord all the time. Praise the Lord all the time. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And let's look at verse 1 of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Now, this doesn't mean you go around, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, like some weirdos. But it means that your attitude of thinking and your thought process, just thanking the Lord. Thanking the Lord. And how wonderful it is in difficult times to thank the Lord. It kind of puts a balance on bad things. It encourages the good things. Something really bad happens. Someone dies unexpectedly or whatever it is. And you just thank the Lord for your salvation. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord for the... It balances out the heaviness of the hurt. The physical, soulish hurt that comes. So we have to continually praise Him, thank Him. That's how you helpfully redeem the time. Now, we had praise the Lord at all times. Now, point six, trust the Lord at all times. Psalm 62, trust the Lord. Praise the Lord at all times. Trust the Lord at all times. And the point that I think you're seeing here is how important it is to be constantly aware of our relationship with the Lord, regardless of what's going on, whether you're married or single. All right, let's look at Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in the Lord at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Now, trust in the Lord, regardless of what's going on. We've got to continually trust Him. Bad times, good times. Doesn't mean you don't hurt. Doesn't mean you don't cry. It doesn't mean that disruption doesn't occur in your life. Look at Daniel in our study in Daniel. Do not fear. Daniel was in fear. Here's a man that lived a wonderful, wonderful life at times of fear. You don't want to do that. You want to trust the Lord at all times. Praise Him and trust Him. We're in a very important study, in my opinion, on Wednesday night, where the mockers, mocking Jesus while He was on the cross bearing their sins, they said, He trusts God. Now, they meant it in mockery, but we went to the Old Testament, that's exactly what He did. He trusts God. In the moment, time period of the most important in all human history, what did Jesus Christ do? He trusted God. God. He is about to die for the sins of the world. He trusts God. And this is why we can love as Christ loved, because He trusted the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a love from His deity, then we couldn't do it. Love one another as I've loved you. He didn't love from His perfect humanity, then we couldn't do it, because we're not perfect. He loved from the filling of the Spirit, walking by faith. And on the cross, He trusted. He trusted God. And I love the Hebrew there. Y'all didn't think you miss it by not being here Wednesday night. But I love the Hebrew here because it says He rolled over everything to God on the cross. He just rolled. It's yours. Whatever you do is yours. Whatever's going to happen in these 6 hours is up to you. I trust you. And He could do that because He knew the Father so intimately. That's why we want to grow in the Word of God. The more you know about God, the more you know about Christ, the more you know about the Holy Spirit, the easier it will be just to roll over and hand it to Him. But if you don't know Him, it's not that easy. But I love the Hebrew there. It just rolled over to the Father. He trusts the Father. So here we are to trust the Lord at all times. And people, that's not easy. That sounds wonderful. Oh, amen. But boy, you hit some bad times in life, physically, economically, romantically, historically. It's not easy. But this is what we've got to do. We've got to trust Him and praise Him in the midst of it. Both of those at one time. As we trust Him, we praise Him. I don't understand what you're doing. I'm not asking you to understand. I'm asking you to trust me. It was one of the most wonderful freedom things that I learned when I realized God isn't asking us always for understanding. That's been my life. Study the Word of God that you can know. And then one day I figured it out, but the Holy Spirit showed me, I don't want your understanding. I want your trust. Will you just trust me? I know what I'm doing. You don't know. I'll let you know what you need to know, but I'm in control. So we learn to trust Him and praise Him, even though we don't understand why this pain, why this suffering, why this, why that, why this has to happen to this person, why this has to happen to my children, my family, somebody, my wife, my husband, whatever. We trust Him. But you got to be in that constant relationship with Him. You got to walk with Him moment by moment in the power of His Spirit. So we have praise the Lord all the time, trust the Lord all the time. And now the seventh is a negative. Do not get caught up in time of each day that you lose sight of eternity future. Do not get caught up in what's going on today that you lose sight of eternity future. And for this, let's look at Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18. I can't wait to get back to Romans. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now people, these are nice things to say. Only you know if they're a reality in your soul. Only you know that. You can say to somebody they are or are not. Only you really know. But I love verse 18. I consider the sufferings of the present time, whatever it may be too. This may be the trouble of being married. It may be financial. It may be physical health. It may be a lot of different things. But I do not consider it to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us in eternity with the presence of the Lord, the appearing of the Lord. They're not even to be compared. A quick analogy that I can make here is like a woman about to give birth. The unbelievable pain, I understand, I don't know this experientially, but just before the giving of the birth, unbelievable pain, but the moment that there's life, the pain's gone. Shouldn't even think about it. It's not even in her mind because of the life. Well, that's the idea here. We think about our suffering, and we think about the life that we have with God and His glory, not even to be compared. Okay, we've had praise the Lord all the time, trust the Lord all the time. I probably should have made this one number 7. Pray at all times. Pray at all times. Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18, most of you know this passage. Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Holy Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Why do we have to be on alert? Satan wants to counter your prayer life. People want to counter your prayer life. So we got to pray all times with the prayer and supplication. So we are to praise the Lord at all times, trust the Lord at all times, pray to the Lord and to God at all times. And then just one more. I'm not going to go on and on with this, but one more. We'll close this study on time with a passage that interprets 1 Corinthians 7:29. So let's look at 7:29 and then a passage that interprets it. 7:29, but this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 2. So as to live the rest of the time, time is short, so you live the rest of the time, in the flesh, that's in our bodies here on earth, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. And that means that in your marriage, you deal with your husband, you deal with your wife, as unto the Lord. That's the issue in that respect. Okay, now to demonstrate that this is what Paul is saying, we go to verse 30 in 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, 29. But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened when you marry, so that from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none. What is he saying? Okay, to demonstrate, verse 30. Those who weep as though they did not weep. But you are weeping. You are married. You are weeping. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. You are rejoicing. As those who buy, as though they did not possess. This helps us to understand what he's saying about, though you're married, be as though you were not married. Be on guard that legitimate living does not hinder redeeming the time for the Lord. Everything in this verse, verse 30, as in verse 29, is legitimate. Marriage is legitimate. Rejoicing is legitimate. Sorrow is legitimate. Buying is legitimate. Amen. Now, but you want to be able to put it in perspective of the plan of God. Let's look at weeping. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Weeping can be very legitimate, but should not hinder redeeming the time for the Lord. The time to weep, time not to weep. Some people weep way too long. Some people just keep on weeping, keep on weeping. They do not redeem the time for the Lord. They're weeping. Some people, I don't know, maybe not nearly enough, but the real thing is the weeping. And there are people who just spend way too much time in their weeping instead of moving on in the plan of God. There's a time to weep, but there's a time to move on in the plan of God. Everything in this verse is legitimate, including weeping. And you do not want to weep where you hinder your time of redeeming the time for the Lord. Weeping over the loss of someone or an event or something is legitimate. But enough weeping is enough. Do not let your weeping hinder your service of the Lord. Do not let your weeping interfere with moving on in God's plan for your life, your service to Him. Then we have the opposite of rejoicing, of weeping, rejoicing. Rejoicing can hinder service to the Lord. Your celebration, your enjoyment of someone or something can hinder your redemption of the time. It's got to be kept in focus. You can get married and just spend all the time rejoicing. No, you got to move on with the plan of God. Whatever it is, we've got to move on in the plan of God. And then the third, we have weeping, rejoicing, and purchasing. Now this is one that hits a lot of people throughout all history. Purchasing. Here is one that hits hard in America. Well, it really hits hard all over the world. In some of the poorest places in Africa, shopping was just a big deal. They didn't have much money, but you just walk up and down the streets. Their malls are just up and down the street, shops along here and there. And same thing in Jerusalem. You walk through these little walkways, hardly any wider than right here, and there's shops here and shops here, and they're out there with their goods, hawking them to you. And we had to have the same thing going on in America. So we have purchasing, shopping for material things. And so, I've got to have this, I've got to have that. What do you need? Do we really need very much? No, not honestly. We don't need very much. But an extra Bluebell ice cream is always nice. But we don't need a lot of things. So, neither the shopping, the purchasing, the utilization of time in these material things often hinders redeeming the time for the Lord. It takes away time for prayer. Takes away time from Bible study. Takes away time from witnessing for Christ. Serving the Lord. I got to go shop. And this is why we have to be in prayer at all times. What do you want me to do? And the time factor doesn't mean shopping is always wrong, but often it is. It takes away time from redeeming the time for the Lord. And might shock us all, the number of people, Christians, even ourselves, supplement by shopping rather than supplementing by prayer. We get discouraged, upset, despondent, weeping, rejoicing. We're going to go shop. I just got to go shop. No, what you need to do is spend time studying, staying home in prayer, opening up the text. It'll save you money, and it'll redeem your soul and redeem that time. Just instead of doing those things, and I might even add here, he didn't say it, but instead of eating a chocolate cake, go with prayer. Go study the Word. Just sit down and take your time studying the Word of God, opening it up, being in Bible class, being in prayer, talking to someone who's like-minded about the Lord, about what's going on. So these are the things that Paul is dealing with as far as this whole chapter is concerned. So supplementing by shopping should never take the place of prayer, studying of the Word of God. It is legitimate, but do not let it hinder the time, the redeeming of the time for the Lord. You can redeem time and money at the same time staying in the Word of God. See? So there you are. Okay. Verse 31. And by the way, if I miss something that you, the verse may raise a different question to you, raise your hand. Verse 31, historical principle of time. Historical principle of time. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. This means that they are not abusing it, nor misusing it, by finding happiness in their marriage, happiness in their work, happiness in life. There's a proper use of the world. God made it. I still think one of the most wonderful things in the Bible is the first blessing God gave us. Food. You can eat from anything in the garden. I just think that's marvelous. I think that is just the greatest thing in the world. It says so much. You can eat of anything in the garden. Of course, we went to one thing we're not supposed to eat. But that's another point. So there's nothing wrong with these things. They're historical use of time. But you've got to use them properly in your relationship with the Lord. Okay. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For the form, that is the design of this world, is passing away. Now, this is what's important. To have the ability to understand time is passing away. This has never been more vivid in a practical sense since watching my grandchildren. It's just so interesting watching these who were young, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and as they become teenagers, this has gone away. Our teenage granddaughter, she doesn't like where she is. She's losing the youth and going into young adulthood. She really doesn't like it. She does not want to grow up. She does not want to let the funny little things of life go. She just doesn't want to. But so it became a vivid illustration. Things are changing. And that's the way God intended them to be. The world is passing away, even in our own lives. Things are passing away that we used to do, no longer do, and now we adjust to it and move on. Call that growing up. So let's note three principles under verse 31. One, when God designed and created this world, He formed it on a time basis. He formed it on a time basis. Minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, all designed by God. Daniel's 70th week, in our study of Daniel. But time is passing away and will come to an end. It's going to come to an end. They had an article last month in the paper. I think they said the world has 60 million years to go before it'll end or something, and which is ridiculous. But nevertheless, we're aware of the fact it's going to end. Your life's going to end. Today's going to end. For some, that's good. For some, it's not so good. But that's the way God designed it. That's why we've got to redeem what we have. Secondly, so you want to be conscious of time and eternity. Live your life in such a way that touches eternity. Stop trying to hold on to things of time. They're passing away. They're designed to pass away. This hurts a lot of people. It's going to come up later, so I might as well say it now. Marriage is passing away. There is no marriage in heaven. This hurts a lot of people. They want to rationalize it some other way. They want to argue with it. They want to deny it. There's no marriage in heaven. Our Savior's own words. It's passing away. Don't try to hold on to it for eternity. Enjoy it now. Redeem the time now. So you want to be conscious of the time and eternity. Live your life in grasping those things that are eternal, not the things that are here on earth. It's amazing how much time and money, especially in America, we spend, and in Europe, we spend on our bodies. Health, looks, operations, a tuck here, a pull there. All these kinds of things that we've got going on. We spend more time, more money, worried about it. Watching it on television, the ads, the commercials, and on and on and on. People get all caught. That's who I am, what I look like in a mirror. How horrible. I don't care if you're gorgeous. That's a horrible view of yourself, the way you look in a mirror. Now, people like James Webb and I, we know better than that. But we got to understand it's eternity, people, that counts. It's not time. It's eternity. Enjoy the things of time, but don't hold on to it. And then for the third principle of verse 31, look at 1 John 2:17. 1 John 2:17. First John 2:17, and the world, that's our current world, is passing away. It's in the process of passing away. And also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. That's what you want to do, is concentrate on those things that will be here forever. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's the whole idea. And for closing on this, let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and let's read again together, verses 1 through 4. If then, since then you have been raised with Christ, if you believe in Christ as Savior, you've been raised with Him, keep seeking day in and day out of your life the things above, where Jesus Christ is right now, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, all right, that goes with the seeking in verse 1, set your mind, your thought process, on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. It's amazing how much stress, anxiety, and depression, sad, we experience by setting our mind on the things of this earth rather than the joy of the things that are above. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died to the things on earth, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. when Christ, who is our life, should be, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. And for many people, that's not going to be a very happy day. But for many, it will be a very happy day. Okay, verses 32 through 35. 1 Corinthians 7. 32 through 35. Use of time. Verse 32. But I want you to be free. Well, let's just read 32 through 35 and then we'll work on it. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord. Now, we're going to have fun with that. They should be. They should be. He speaks in what it, way it should be. How he may please the Lord. But the one who is married is concerned about the things of the world. And if he isn't, he soon will be. She'll be sure that he does. All right? How he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. That's the shortening of the time. And the woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you. Actually, it says a noose. I like that. Put a noose on you, but to promote what is seemly and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord, which is his objective. Okay, verse 32. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Now this is where I should have had our overhead out and put it up here for you. To grasp what Paul is saying in these verses, note carefully, we have a set of two words in verse 32, verse 33, and verse 34. Concerned and pleased. Take a look now, verses 32 through 34, concerned and pleased. Verse 32, I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Verse 33, but one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Verse 34, and his interests are divided. And the woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. These are the two key words in this whole study. Concern and please. Concern and please. Paraphrasing Charles Schulz. Paraphrasing Lucy and Charles Schulz. She said, somebody is not doing their job in pleasing me. Elina said something about, we are here to please one another. And she, somebody's not doing their job. Somebody is not pleasing me. So, let's take a look now at this very important two words about our life. Concern and please. I want to introduce it by the overall statement, we should be most concerned about pleasing the Lord. That's the overriding statement. But once you marry, that changes. Now you've got to be concerned about the Lord, pleasing the Lord, concerned about your spouse, and pleasing your spouse. So let's take a look at what we've got going. Concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time dividing pleasing the husband, pleasing, for both. The husband is to be concerned and please his wife. The wife is to be concerned and please her husband. He makes sure he gives both equal time here. So this is the way that he's written it out. Okay, concerned. Let's take a look at that. This is a present active indicative. Now what does the present active indicative says? All the time. Every day. Day in and day out. This should characterize your life. Present active indicative. You eat, present active indicative. You sleep, present active indicative. You're concerned about these things, present active indicative. You want to please, it's present active indicative. This should characterize our lives. And the word means to be concerned, means to care for something. The lexicon even says to have anxious care. This word means to have anxious care. Anxious to take care of. This is in itself, people, just that word. Concern in itself is demanding. It demands a lot of thought. Before you even do anything else, it demands thought, time of thinking. Be concerned. Take care of the things of God. Okay? What do I have to do first? I have to decide what are the things that God needs for me to care about. I have to spend time before I even do anything. What is that going to entail? Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time living in the Holy Spirit. Spend time giving. Spend time witnessing. Spend time sharing the gospel. These are the things that please Him. So I've got to stop and just think about, if you don't know the Lord, how are you going to know what? Well, let's see. I got to spend time caring about the things of the Lord. Well, that means I got to go to church. That means I got to be at church every time the door is open. That means I can't sin. All these human things. No, you got to know Him. What pleases the Lord? To know what pleases Him, you got to know Him. First, you have to have that concern about Him. So I got to know about Him so that I can please Him. So that in itself, it's going to demand time just to know what concerns Him. Think about what concerns Him. Each of these require time in and of themselves. And if you add them up, it takes a lot of time to be concerned. Just be concerned about the Lord, the things of the Lord. Then when you add doing them so as to please Him, well, there goes your day. There goes the time. Because you've got to spend time what pleases Him today. Do I know Him well enough? Do I walk with Him enough? Am I occupied with Him to know what is going to be concerning Him? And then now I got to go and please Him. How He may please the Lord. Now, this takes up a whole other discussion, which we don't have full time for. If I am pleasing my wife, my husband, am I not pleasing the Lord? Well, on one level, that's absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. I do not want to minimize that. Well, on that level. But the emphasis here is directly pointing to pleasing the Lord, as in studying His Word, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, being in prayer, witnessing for Him. These things directly concerned with the Lord. Yes, He cares how you treat your husband and your wife. But here we're talking about what pleases Him. And what pleases Him is in our relationship with Him. And so we ought to, as a single person, give that total occupation. Now, unfortunately, and I'll be talking about this as we go through these verses. Unfortunately, multitude of single people are not even occupied with the Lord, as he assumes. They're overly occupied with themselves than with the Lord, or even with other people, their families. So this has that whole other area that we could spend time talking about. All I want to do is mention it. This is what you should do as a single person. Give all your time concerned with the Lord to pleasing Him. But we know better. We know better. We're occupied about ourselves. what pleases me, what I'm concerned with, and not even so much giving that time to my family, but it's about me. But if you're married, you cannot, even if you would have when you were single, you cannot be completely concerned about what pleases the Lord. If you're married, cannot be. Now you must be concerned about pleasing your wife, your husband. And again, this demands thinking in itself. To care for someone, you have to know them. You have to know them. And the more you know them, the more you can please them. But you have to know them. And a lot of people are so arrogant and self-centered, they don't take time to learn about their spouse even, much less about the Lord. Learn about what pleases her, what pleases him, what's in their priorities. These are the things that are of great issue as far as God is concerned. What pleases them, you have to think about them. I like to use the silly illustration. A man tells his wife, after all I've done for you, I built you a $50,000 pool. It has a fountain. It is gorgeous. Well, you know I don't like to swim. I cannot lay in the sun. You got that for yourself. Don't say you got it for me. See? You, in order to give, here we are at Christmas time. I don't care what it is. What it is. You think this is good for her. This is good for him. For what they like. Not what I like. I don't like this at all. I don't like it at all. I do not like fruitcake. I think fruitcake is fruity. It's ridiculous. But somebody who loves a fruitcake, here. I got this from somebody else. You can have it. But the point is, you've got to think of the other person to please them, to care about them. What do they need? What do they want? What pleases one does not please another. How you care for one is not how you would care for another. And this is one of the dramas in life, but it takes time. What I'm trying to show you, it takes time to know so that you can care. And then added to that, it takes time to actually please them. Well, I know I should have done that, but I didn't. Well, you didn't please. It takes time to please. It takes time to care. It takes time to please. I just don't have that time. I'm too busy. I got to shop. I got to weep. I got to rejoice. I don't have time for this. So this is what Paul is dealing with in this whole marriage issue. It takes time. It's trouble. And you've got to give a lot of thought and a lot of time in caring and pleasing. So that's what he's dealing with in this study. So again, even if you are married and even if you would have done it when you were single, you cannot completely give all your time to the Lord now. You've got to shorten the time that you would have given the Lord, that's the previous verse, and now give it to your spouse. You've got to shorten that time. That's why he says, time is short. So, we got to utilize our time. Again, this demands thinking in itself. To take care of someone, you've got to know them, understand what they need. And these things change. These things change throughout our lives. What you needed at this age, different at this age. What you need at this time, this event going on in your life, is different than over here. See? Well, you always like that. Not now. Don't you understand? I don't want that now. It's not what I want now. But you always got to think. You've got to be aware of what's going on in people's souls and in their lives. So marriage takes a lot of time. Time getting to know them. Time to care for them. And then the actual time pleasing them. Whatever it may be. Okay, let's go to verse, well, we're past our time. So we'll start at 33 next week and move right along. Now, I will remind you, next Sunday, we'll have a wonderful time. John Hintz will be here. He as you know, he was in a horrible motorcycle accident, and sometimes it's straight. He will have to decide. He told me yesterday he'll decide when he's here whether he'll teach at this class or not, but I'll be ready in case he isn't. But I'm really looking forward to our time with John Hens, a phenomenal teacher from Tucson. So be in prayer for his travel, his and Judy's travel, and so we'll just move on. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, Heavenly Father, all this demand of our time. I don't have time for all this. My goodness. But we have to make time. And we do make time for things that are important to us. That's the sad part about it. Nobody needs to tell us. All we need to do is look. How do we use our time? Pray, Father, your Spirit will take the things that we've seen in this study, convict us, wake us up, let us be alert to the use of time, a wonderful commodity. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.